Hey everyone, welcome back to the Double Click Podcast. Today we're talking about liturgy. Well, hello everyone. Thanks for joining us again. I need to have a confession as we dive into this topic.
All right, confess.
Number one, I have no idea what the word means. Number two, I am from Davidson County, and I feel like this is one of those words that, like, I just redneck up. Like yeah. Liturgy. Like, I don't know why. Like, I hear it.
That's when you throw your trash out the window, isn't it? Liturgy.
But I feel like it's, like, one of those words. So just bear with me on the goofy enunciation or my reaction to my goofy enunciation of liturgy. All
right, yeah, I think the disclaimer here is that we're both processing, figuring out, studying, understanding what this word means, what this word means in a Protestant church. I think as in kind of researching and studying, and I know in Catholicism there's liturgies and there's different things we'll get into, but this is not, it is common, but it's not super common for us.
For in our realm.
Yeah, in our realm as Protestant pastors and even in our church that we serve in, you know, but I guess that kicks it off to go, you know, what is liturgy? What is it in the sense of us Davidson County good old boys? What are we referring to? And so just doing some quick research. So the word comes from a couple Greek words, which is ergos, work, and leiton or leiton, which is of the people. So this means a public work that is done for the common good. So a public work done for common good. It's something public. It's something for everybody. So my understanding is a liturgy is the work of God's people, and it's our participation of us as a people of God in the work of God. So meaning it's kind of a form of public worship, an expression of our worship. We take our beliefs and our professions and the things that we know to be true of God and His Word, and we express them publicly, like out, but also communally. So a lot of times liturgies are, they can be call and response. So so the church I grew up in, Baptist church, we called them responsive readings. They were never liturgies, but that's what they were, I guess, is, you know, the pastor would read what was in bold and the congregation reads what's not bolded. And, you know, it would be based in scripture, but it would be us together communally and publicly expressing some kind of biblical truth or element of our faith.
Yeah, and I can describe this in a little kid in Small Baptist Church. It's the structured reading, or like you said, that call and response, where everybody gets a really, like, this is not the accurate definition. This is just like what comes to mind.
Yeah.
And everybody gets a really monotone, flat voice and responds
and
in unison.
Creepy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so, and I've been a part of lots of church services where, like, that's the formation of the entire church service. Like, it's the same pattern every week. It is, and it's not just the same pattern. It is the same, you pull the same documented sayings, you know, readings or whatever. Yes. You pull the same 5 to 10 songs, like, and all of a sudden it becomes just very, and I don't know how to describe it, but anytime I hear that word liturgy, it reminds me of a church service where kids aren't allowed to move.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're sitting there and it's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. But here's what prompted this conversation. So you ordered a couple of these books.
Yep.
I don't know where you found out about these, or, you know, what podcast you were listening to, because we didn't recommend this.
Actually, if you want to know, it was a worship artist who had posted a liturgy before taking the stage. So basically this kind of prayer meditation of before she goes out, this is kind of what she meditates on, prays over. And it came from these books called Every Moment Holy. And there's a couple volumes, but anyway.
Yeah, and so I walk in his office, I see these, and literally there's one for, like, what was it?
There's
cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, like things that are, there was one on changing a diaper.
Yep.
And then you have more like, what do you, I would consider like traditional stuff, like at a funeral or.
Yeah. Yep. There's one on dying well.
Yes.
You know, and some heavy stuff.
And the deal is like, I'm going to discuss my weirdness with this first of all.
Okay.
So one, I've got that memory as a little kid of like, you're sitting in church and everybody suddenly goes like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, really monotone call and response, especially was when it would happen. But then I'm also like, I always kind of do this weird kind of like dance. Okay. Yeah. And I know there's going to be a like, well, we do this, this, and this, which is kind of the same thing. But I feel really weird when we're taking church service time and it's not scripture.
Yes. Gotcha.
However, let me go ahead and concede. We have songs.
I was going to say, we have about 30 minutes of that every week.
If we're really honest, the majority of the sermon
yeah.
is an explanation of scripture. The pastor will read quotes. I do it when I preach. And so I have to have a process and a release in some degree that I'm going like, okay, this is not in those categories,
yeah.
but it's the same level of release of going like, why are we spending time not just reciting scripture?
The same way with our songs, they should not be sung if they're not rooted in truth and in scripture.
Right.
They're a waste of our time and they turn us away from the Lord. The same way with these liturgies, if you find yourself doing them at your church or intrigued by what this means, and again, liturgies can be done publicly in the church setting, or they can be done with you and your family at the dinner table. There's liturgies for, you know, your evening meal and kind of a process or a pattern that you walk through. But absolutely, you need to know that they need to be rooted in God's scripture and based off biblical truth and based off what scripture says. And I found this online, and I think this is probably the closest that I can kind of, there's several things here, but it gives a nice summary at the end. It says, in summary, using a liturgy in worship is neither good nor bad. A liturgy's content should be evaluated to determine whether it is biblical. So meaning, if it's not, if this is someone's ideas, let's not go there. Also, traditions should not be given priority over scripture. Meaning, if we're going to go through and it's that monotone, yeah, we say the yeah. same thing every single week because we have to, because it's part of the church service. No, we're not going to get into those repetition things. Yep. We're going to give scripture the priority. And one should also evaluate the church in which the liturgy takes place. So meaning, is this a Bible preaching church? Like, understand the context right. of yep. where you're at. A liturgical service can certainly be used to honor God in worship when its content reflects the great truths of scripture and is done in a way that honors God.
Yeah.
And so I think my intrigue with liturgy and kind of doing that in a public worship space, I'm going to probably butcher this quote, but I was doing some studying for a teaching on worship and came across this A.W. Tozer quote that talked about, if 100 pianos are tuned to the same tuning fork, then they're not tuned to one another. So if they're tuned to one another, there could be some inconsistencies in their tuning, but if you tune them to the same fork, they all play the same notes. And so the same thing with people in church. We can look to the pastor, we can look to each other, and we can be looking towards the right direction, but we can all be off slightly. But if we're looking to Jesus, to Christ, then we're all in unity and in unison, focused on the right thing. And so I think that's kind of what I see as a liturgy, to go, hey, here's a biblical truth. The pastor's going to lead out and say something. We're going to respond, or we're all going to say something together. And it's that kind of pointing to yeah. Jesus. It's that writing of our heart, and in a lot of regards, a preparing of our hearts, a call to worship, a getting us in the right mind and heart set to worship together and know that it's not just me individually in that seat, but it's us communally as a congregation and as a body proclaiming these truths together to go, here we are, here's what we believe, and we're ready to worship.
Yeah, and I think that's where, because these, like, I just randomly picked up one of these books. Justin, just you can pick one out while I'm rambling, because, like, I want there to be some understanding in this, because I actually, like, was kind of flipping through these because, like, my brain just full confession went to, like, really, man? Like, that's what we're getting?
Right.
Like, immediately because of my first experience with it as a child, and yeah. it was that I couldn't move, had to sit up straight, yeah. couldn't blink.
And it's weird. Right. I yep. remember growing yep. up in church. It's weird.
But then we're reading these, and, like, what you've got?
So I've got, this is a short one. This is a liturgy for the ritual of morning coffee. And some of these, mm-hmm. it's like, you look at them and go, you go, come on. Like, right. you yeah. know, I like yep. the changing of the diapers. But again, the name of the book is Every Moment Holy. And what I love about just even in that title is, as a believer, every moment in the presence of a living God and an abiding relationship with Him is worship, is holiness. And so it's His holiness and righteousness in us. And so I'll read this short kind of liturgy here, the liturgy for the ritual of morning coffee. And again, the copyrights come from Every Moment Holy. The author is Douglas Kane McKelvey. So that's where this comes from, Rabbit Room Press. The ritual of the morning coffee. Meet me, O Christ, in the stillness of morning. Move me, O Spirit, to quiet my heart. Mend me, O Father, from yesterday's harms. From the discords of yesterday, resurrect my peace. From the discouragements of yesterday, resurrect my hope. From the weariness of yesterday, resurrect my strength. From the doubts of yesterday, resurrect my faith. From the wounds of yesterday, resurrect my love. Let me enter this new day, aware of my need, and awake to your grace, O Lord. Amen. And it gives the scripture of Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm hearing you read that, and I pick that up, and immediately I'm going, oh, okay, like, it's starting to click. Like, yeah. And once again, I'm coming from the, like, I probably have very little understanding of this. Like, I know the terminology. I've seen it applied in very traditional settings, things of that nature. But immediately, two observations, one slightly funny. One, the funny one. I'm watching your voice waves on the recording right here, and it is so rhythmic. It's like perfectly spaced in how you just naturally like went into like liturgical mode. I don't know how to describe it. Like your brain just immediately
liturgy
went
mode.
To ba 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 ba, yeah. Like a rhythm. But I will say, like hearing you read that and having read a few of these, like it's almost like a guided prayer.
Absolutely.
Like, essentially, like, it's like, and that's something like, I mean, you know, me and you have talked about, like, sometimes we'll go to pray, and we've talked about it on here, and we don't have the words.
Yeah.
And the best thing you can pray back is scripture. Praying, you know, you're speaking mm-hmm. back to God, his word. Like, mm-hmm. that's great. But there is a place for, like, in those moments to go, I don't know what to ask, and allow God to use a resource like that to kind of, like,
yeah,
speak for you.
Kind yeah, of. And I think, you know, again, these are meant... That one, obviously, I think, is in the private moment before the Lord at the yep. start of your day. But there was one that my wife and I were looking at. It's for a married couple before they end the day together. And so it was this beautiful, husband says this, the wife responds with this. They say these things together. And it even said, take a moment to hold hands. Take a moment to confess things to one another. And I just think it's a, again, it's not a formula that is required biblically of us to do. But I think that if we take our time and our day and every moment like that, it brings an intentionality to it. It brings a right focusing of God to go, every moment is holy and you're right at the center of it. And I'm a part of the work that you're doing. And another resource that I'm sure many of us have heard is the Book of Prayer, the Valley of Vision. You know, like that's a beautiful resource when I'm with time with the Lord to go, man, here's a subject that I'm feeling or something that I'm just trying to express to him. And I pray out loud that prayer that was written. Cause again, it's one, it's beautifully written, but it's not just that it's beautifully written. It's a cry of the heart and it feels like it gets it at a kind of a deeper level. But I will say this. So, you know, we talk about the churches and we both have expressed, hey, it's kind of funky. This liturgy thing, you know, there are liturgical churches. And there are non-liturgical churches. And when we were in San Antonio, I got a chance to lead worship periodically at this church start. And at first, I wasn't sure it was a Lutheran church, and they did this, like they had calls and responses in their bulletin. And Matt, I'll be honest, it was kind of a beautiful thing to hear the voices of the people of the church read out and respond. It wasn't just, you know, the pastor speaking the entire time. It was the church calling out, and they would have a chance for prayer requests to be shared. And so every church has a liturgy. Liturgical churches, you're going to find them, they're more often scripted and they're more formal. You think of robes and different things like that. Non-liturgical churches, I would say our church is one, is probably going to be more informal in the way it feels, and we don't often follow scripts or do the call and response thing. But every church follows a liturgy. You look at the bulletin. We call it a bulletin, right? Like we could do a song, a welcome, a few songs, message, a song at yep. the end, invitation. That's a liturgy. That's a pattern. That is the flow of our service, the singing of songs, the reading of scripture. So just know, even though it may feel funky or kind of like, what is this as we're describing it, we all are part of liturgies and churches in some shape or fashion.
Yeah, and it's here's where this like this book, like I'm sitting here flipping through the table of contents, and there's so many places for whatever reason, like this one's just hitting me today. So you might like look at this book and be like, these guys are nuts, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. Just this is hitting me weird this day. But I'm looking at like this one that is a liturgy for those flooded by too much information.
Yeah,
I'm like, and here's the deal, because like I will tell my wife I'm an information overload. I never in that moment turn to God.
Exactly.
Right, and that's the thing. And so I'm like looking through these.
Did you see the one in there?
You said San Antonio for those experiencing road rage.
Exactly. I read that one out last night to my wife, and it's if you flip to it, you can read it. It's a beautiful, like, I mean, when I was reading it to her, again, what you just said, to go in those moments, God is often, and I hate to say this, the last thing on my mind or where my heart is at is to understand him. And so, again, I don't know if some of these are too long, but like to memorize, and of course we want to prioritize memorizing scripture and hiding that in our heart. But let's say you get cut off in traffic, you're stuck, you're angry, you're frustrated, and then What is the liturgy for road rage?
So listen. So right now, I'm assuming there's somebody driving along.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe you need this right now.
Like, let's just say you're listening to this podcast driving and somebody just cuts you off. Here is the liturgy for experiencing road rage. If my heart were more content in you, O Lord, I would be less inclined to rage at others. Let me gauge by the knot in my gut the poverty of my own understanding of the grace that I have received from God, who, loving me, chose rather to receive wounds than to give them. Mm. Take from my self-righteousness and my ego-driven demand for respect. Overthrow the tyranny of my anger, O Lord, and in its place establish a better vision of your throne, your kingdom, and your peace. Amen.
Amen. You know, seriously. And again, this is no place from Scripture, but it's a God-honoring, derived from Scripture, derived from biblical truth, right-pointing of our hearts and our attitudes. Again, this is not meant to be, we read this instead of Scripture, but what a great aid in our worship of public worship or private worship.
We're going to have to, like, so one thing we're working on this summer is getting social media, like, kind of an interactive place. We're going to have to post some of these.
A liturgy before a podcast, you know?
Are we going to write one?
That would
change the game. A liturgy for a moment of frustration at a child. Like all of these, I'm just flipping through these, and it's amazing the number of areas that are being hit.
Yeah.
Where we normally completely shut God out.
And then there's some artsy fartsy ones, like a liturgy for keeping bees. You know, like my sister-in-law.
Have you ever kept bees?
I've not.
But they sting.
They do, and they're important, right? But you know, it's
for loss of electricity, like so. Some
exactly.
Of these are cracking
like
me up.
Some, and it seems so kind of like you said, funny or humorous at first,
but there are areas like you don't even think about it, yeah. Right?
And then again, going back to the title, every moment holy. So I guess the question is why even have liturgies? Why even dive into this realm? And I think we've already hit a lot of this. Is that you know. If it is in the right place in our services and in our homes and in our hearts, and it is based on biblical truth in God's word, then it gives God glory and it gives him honor.
Yeah.
And then within the church and within our families, it builds up the faith of the people in our church. So imagine proclaiming something like this in your wherever your church is, whether it's 50 people or 500 people or 5,000 people. You guys are reading these things together, and you guys are proclaiming these truths together. I mean, what a building up of faith within you and a right correcting in you of your heart of worship. And then I think it also instructs the faithful in the faith. So looking at that road rage one, you know, I can easily get frustrated, but when we share that and we walk through that together, now I'm instructed to, oh man, look at my own depravity and...
So if I was the person listening to this podcast having road rage and then just read that,
it's like I'm gonna shut up now, you know.
In my sinfulness, I'd probably be like, "Well, not listening to that podcast anymore."
Yeah, shut up, guys. You know, but
should have seen. But
I think we had a podcast on this recently, I believe. You know, Scripture and Jesus and that's not what we're advocating here for. That is not what we're pointing towards is hey, you need to have the Bible and this. No, God's word alone is sufficient and errant and perfect and holy and will sustain and be everything that we need. But in those moments of worshiping together, in those moments of private devotion, these aids are good. We all have devotional books. We all have prayers that we pray. And so I think, you know, it's more for me a posture of oneness with the congregation. When I think of this in the context of a church setting and being able to verbally link arms with my brothers and sisters in Christ as we declare and proclaim God's glory and honor and power through every, just even the simplest of moments of life, and to be able to have our pastor lead us in that and we respond to that, I just think there's something beautiful in that. Or sitting around the dinner table with your family as head of household, you or your wife being able to share something and your children respond, or your children repeat back, or say, you know, you say all together. It's a unifying and a rightening of our faith and our focus. And so, yeah, I think there's a good place for this, but it is weird. And if you have no experience with it, I do think it's a little odd. I mean, I told my wife before bed last night, I was like, hey, I would love for us to go do this liturgy for husbands and wives before ending the day. But I said, I read through it. It's a little weird. You just read through it and I'll read through it. And we're not going to sit in bed and like, I say this, you say that, we hold hands, I say this, you say that. Cause again, we're still getting to a place where we're comfortable, with that. But man, they have been truly a convicting and
I guess I'll
positive thing.
I'll say this as we close, because it kind of applies, even though we're going to wait till I think August to really push this. We're working on a Instagram account that is the Double Click Podcast. So if you're on Instagram, and so we'll post a picture of these books, and we might post a couple of the liturgies.
Because if we can, I do think there's some explicit copyright stuff in there. Yeah, I'm serious about. Like
so you're telling me we just spent an entire podcast on a PG-13 book?
No, not explicit in like, it's explicitly written that you can't photocopy and share.
Oh, okay. Like,
yeah,
okay.
There's nothing. As far as I know, there's nothing.
I literally thought you were like,
no.
This like it was one of those like Christian bands that occasionally uses a bad word.
No. I've not run across any of that. No, I'm just saying there's explicit instructions on. There's a website that you can go to and download. So we'll research and make sure we're being fair and crediting the right people and the right stuff for that. But
awesome, Justin, I'll take care of that. But once again, we thank you for listening. We hope that if that's something that helps you connect with God, maybe you'll search it out, go find one of these books, which are Every Moment Holy or another liturgical aid.
Make sure it's biblical.
We thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.